Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time, fresh new week. Football season officially over. Super Bowl's over.
Man, what'd you guys think?
Great game.
Yeah. Well, probably one of the better Super Bowl games I've ever watched. I'm not going to say it's the best because I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's definitely top three.
You don't always get a good Super Bowl, but it was a good one. After those first two drives, I thought, all right, well, maybe defense is optional. It was just a Super Bowl winning hold by former Gator captain and now Super Bowl champion Tommy Townsend. So congrats to the Townsend family. And right. I mean, some other Gators too, but mainly Tommy.
Nick,
and just – unbelievable drip walking into the stadium.
And I mean, the drip was nuts. He makes the right call on the coin flip. I mean, choosing the punter to make the coin toss is definitely some elite, you know, big punter.
Says a lot
energy
about him.
Andy Reid, Hall of Fame coach. That's a Hall of Fame coaching decision.
That's my favorite coach all the time is Andy Reid. That's my guy. I think he's he's just been ahead of the game for a long time. I think Philly, even though Philly successfully ran organization, so they've been still somewhat successful. But there got to be some kind of regrets with letting Andy Reid go.
Yeah, I think it's one of those times, you know, a change in scenery from him, obviously getting, you know, probably may go down as one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. And Patrick Mahomes, when it's all said and done, certainly helps. And, you know, they've built that roster strong. They've got some great players and they've been able to, you know, they dealt with some turnover, right? That's going to happen when you draft well and you develop well. These guys start wanting money and, you know, they made some changes. They trade for Kadarius Toney in the middle of the year. And, you know, I think a lot of us expected big things out of him when he got drafted. You know, obviously didn't have, you know, too great of a start with the Giants, but then comes in and, you know, is an absolutely electrifying punt return there in the, was at the third or the beginning of the fourth. And then, you know, the touchdown. So shout out to Kadarius Toney. Carlos Dunlap, he finally gets a Super Bowl after a very long, successful career in the NFL. Tommy Townsend gets his Super Bowl ring number two for him, right, Nick?
Nice.
Is this the first one?
Yeah, he
– Oh, he just missed it.
They lost to Tampa, I think, the one Super Bowl he was in previously.
Yep, and then LaMichael P. Ryan is on the practice squad, so congratulations to those four.
Shout out to my guy, LP, just got signed like a month ago.
That's the way to do it.
And was on the Eagles practice squad at some point this year too. But the Super Bowl ring is the same. Pat Mahomes and LP Deuce get the same Super Bowl ring.
Absolutely.
Nice. I think Mahomes is going to juice his up a little bit. It's just my opinion. he was so close to being Kadarius Toney. He was so close to being MVP, man. If he got that punt return into the end zone, he's probably MVP of the game. But just go to show you what being drafted or being at the right organization just does wonders. Some people were talking about him possibly being a bust, even though it was super early in New York. But that there was whispers of that. And then he gets to Kansas City, and they speak glowingly of him out there, and his future just looked completely different than what it was in New York. So just wait, who drafts you just determines so much about your NFL status.
Absolutely.
I think he was staying with Tommy when he first got out there, but just the touchdown play, like just that little motion cut back. I mean, he's just high stepping into the end zone from 5 yards out. Just that creativity. And I think you watched it happen at Florida. Like, you have to figure out a way to use Kadarius Toney. It's not like a cookie cutter type player that you just, you know, run normal stuff with. Like, you have to design some stuff for him. But if you are creative and figure that out, unlock that, like, he can be a special player.
Absolutely. No, and I think that he had a great game. Obviously, on the Eagles side of the ball, they lose Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, had a monstrous hit in that game. Brian Johnson called a good game. You know, just it didn't work out. I think a lot of people were wondering what would happen to Mahomes with his obviously high ankle sprain. Looked pretty good. Obviously, Winston Payne, I don't know how many cortisone shots he got in his leg, you know, super excited for the rest of those guys to make it. And I think that Brian Johnson has an incredible career ahead of him calling plays in the NFL. You know, I know his stock is going through the roof. So, boys, any final Super Bowl thoughts before we get on to the show or weekend?
No, you talk about Stapleton did his thing in the beginning. What you guys thought about the halftime show with Riri and also Stapleton?
I thought Riri had already had her baby, and then she comes out, and I'm like, oh, she's not dancing much. And then they get closer. I'm like, oh, she's like 7 months pregnant.
Oh, no, this is a new baby.
This is number two.
This is number two. This is baby number two,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought she baby was back in May.
I thought she'd already had baby number two. And I don't know.
I didn't know she was pregnant with baby number two. I don't keep up with celebrity world like that, but I didn't know she was pregnant.
What do you tell your OBGYN? They're like, hey, you're going to need you to, you know, stay off your feet a little bit. They're like, yeah, cool, I'll do that. But I'm going to be 70 feet up in the air on a apparatus that's going to be going up and down while I perform in front of millions of people for the Super Bowl. So, like, after that, I'll definitely stay off my feet.
No, I thought she killed it. You know, we were having a Beyonce versus Rihanna conversation. That might be something that we hold towards the end of the show. But you just kind of forget how many bangers Rihanna put out in such a limited amount of time. She's kind of like a female Bruno Mars, in my opinion. Just her success rate and hit rate was just out of this world. We had a little bet inside the house of what song she would do first. I think there was seven of us. We all picked seven different songs, and none of them were the ones that she started with. It just goes to show how many songs she has. But I'm willing to put this out there. This might be a hot take, might get crucified on the internet. But Chris Stapleton, second best national anthem in Super Bowl history. You can debate your mom. You can debate your ears, but behind Whitney Houston, Chris Stapleton, incredible performance.
No doubt, no doubt. Probably the best Super Bowl I ever seen. First Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks. Seeing Jalen Hurts get out in open field, doing some of the things he's doing. It's just the future of the game. From that standpoint, I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. It's just two young, bright superstars at the quarterback position, the whole scene was predicated around them. The whole storyline, everything was around the quarterback. So I enjoyed this one. I'm just not an NFL guy. I enjoy college football more, but it's been a good playoffs and a good Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, boys. Well, let's get on to the show. We have Haas from Haas Law joining us to talk a little bit about the NIL repeal in Florida that it looks to be on the horizon any moment now. But as always, let's give a shout out to our friend Alan Horn with State Farm Insurance. He is located in Georgia. He can serve you in Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama if you are looking for auto, home, renters, life, business insurance, and retirement planning. Give him a call at 706-692-2888 or visit him at Alan Horn. That's A-L-A-N Horn, H-O-R-N-E, insurance.com, or follow him on social media at SF Agent Alan H or on Facebook, Alan Horn - State Farm Agent. We thank Alan for his continued support of this program. Gentlemen, it is unfortunate news on Thursday evening, pardon me, it came out that former Florida Gator walk-on Caleb Boateng had committed suicide. It came out on Thursday, but at the age of 21, he was found by his father at 5:49 p.m. on Thursday. And he unfortunately committed suicide at an apartment just a few blocks west of campus. Boateng had originally played at Clemson, transferred to Florida, but obviously an incredibly sad story and something that you certainly don't want to hear. And certainly we give our thoughts, prayers, and all of our emotions to the Boateng family and the Florida Gators family that have been affected by that.
Yeah, sad, super sad story. Just mental health is just super important, I mean, especially amongst, like, I know it's a stigma and not something easy to talk about, especially in our culture. My culture, we don't really speak about suicide. But I put out a tweet like 2 weeks ago saying that we're at the highest risk. We're leading the lead in suicide, especially between the ages of like 16 to 25, which is a wild age demographic, you know, and it should raise some red flags, man. But got to talk about it. You know, if you're going through things, man, just got to find somebody to speak to. Just seek help, you know.
Yeah, you never know what I'm thinking about you, what a phone call could mean. There is a song called by Matt Kinnon from years ago called The Call, and it's very much about a situation just like this, somebody dealing with mental issues and dealing with sadness and depression and thinking about it and how, you know, people reaching out at a particular time or a certain time, you know, really made an impact. So Nick, any thoughts from your end?
Yeah, I think this next generation is definitely more in tune with, you know, feelings and talking. But, you know, for us, like young boys, like you don't cry, you don't show emotion, you don't talk about it, you just, you know, bury that stuff. But just my friend group, we always tell each other we love each other. And I think just normalize that. Tell your guy friends, hey, man, I love you. I'm here for you. And just know that you're not alone. Even if you may feel like you are, there's always somebody that is there to talk to you and somebody who's been in that situation that maybe you didn't know. And just opening up about what you're going through can lead to some great conversations and some healing.
Absolutely. So again, our thoughts and prayers go to the Boateng family. And certainly I appreciate you all's words on the matter as well. Not to change the subject too quickly, but the Gators did have 9 former players invited to the NFL Combine. I think 330 total were invited. as you can imagine, Anthony Richardson and Osiris Torrance were invited. Justin Shorter, Richard Garage, Gervon Dexter, Bretton Cox, Ventrell Miller, Trey Dean, and Rashad Torrance. Obviously a group of 9, I think the expectation is for most, if not all of them, to likely get drafted. But gentlemen, who do you think is going to really show out and really make an impact at the combine?
I think everybody got Anthony Richardson at the top of that list. He's gonna go crazy. Mm-hmm. Trey Dean is a workout warrior. He's a guy that you want getting off the bus first, appearance wise. So I think he's gonna work out well. Mm-hmm. He had a good Senior Bowl. I expect him to like test well, 40-yard dash, lifting, all that type of stuff. Interested to see how Torrance works out. Like, I think his film is phenomenal. I don't know what he's like in the weight room. Really how strong or how explosive he is in that area. So I'm interested to see how he works out. Anybody else that I think is going to shine? I don't know if we have anybody. Brent Cost is going to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another guy. I know he has probably some off-the-field issues and things with Georgia. He had a little rep there in the way he exited at UL. But workout-wise, he can make himself a lot of money, and he's one of those guys that should be able to run a fast 40. Lift a lot, you know, and also just jump through the roof when it's time to do vertical leap. So that's who I got. Rest of everybody else, I'm just kind of on wait and see.
Yeah, I'm curious to see Gervon Dexter. Obviously, I think some people expected maybe, I don't want to say an impact, but maybe some more stats. And I know he's a defensive tackle, and so it's a little bit different. But yeah, I think he's going to work out really well. I'm curious to see what he's able to do in the NFL. But I think that Trey Dean's going to test really well. I think that his stock's going to go up with his performance in his senior bowl game or the senior bowl that he was at, Nick. East-West Shrine Bowl, obviously, was the defensive MVP there. I'm curious to see Richard Garage, right? You know, 5 years at UF, starter for, I think, four of those years. A lot of reps under his belt. You'll see what he's able to do. And then Rashad Torrance, I'm seeing him in the somewhere between the fourth and the sixth round in some of the mock drafts that I see. And then Justin Shorter, obviously, a guy that was a five-star out of high school, goes to Penn State, comes to Florida, performs well, has a big year for Florida this year, for all intents and purposes. So curious to see from an athletic specimen perspective where he kind of ranks with the rest of the wide receivers that are at the combine. But you know, I think that he has a chance to maybe move some heads.
Here's a warning for Gator fans: mm-hmm. Do not allow yourself to be trolled. Osiris Torrance, very strong human. Gervon Dexter, very strong human. I don't think they're going to have great bench press numbers. They have really long arms. Like the bench press is not made for Osiris Torrance. When he measured in at the Senior Bowl, had the longest wingspan of any offensive guard that's ever been measured at the Senior Bowl.
Holy cow.
That's not conducive to throw up 30 reps on the bench press. Yeah. You're moving that a very long ways. I don't know, I think Osiris is the OG one. Like, I think he's the mm-hmm. best offensive guard in the draft. I don't know what he does or what he shows you, you know, at the Underwear Olympics in Indianapolis that he's not going to have like an Anthony Richardson type of day. Zach posted up on our website, Anthony Richardson. I think we all thought that he would lose some weight. You know, show up at the combine at like 225 to run faster. Anthony's up to 250, and they had him at a 4.4 up in Jacksonville at 6 points.
Very nice. Thompson.
So that's
250. Jeez.
That's an alien. Speaking of all the aliens that were flying around Sunday night, checking out the Super Bowl, I think alien Richardson might be one of them. 250 running a 4.4 is otherworldly. I think Justin Shorter's one, though, Dan, that I think. Mm-hmm. Based on where he is and Rashad Torrance, like mm-hmm. the lower you are projected to be drafted, the more you need to do. Like Anthony Richardson mm-hmm. is not going to throw. Osiris Torrance might say, hey, you know what? That lateral, that three cone drill, I'm good. I'm all right. But if you're a fourth, fifth round guy, you need to do as much as you can. I think Justin Shorter is a guy that has a real opportunity. Rashad Torrance, mm-hmm. I think, is a guy that kind of like Trey Dean, workout warrior. I think those two. We'll maybe even push each other being there in that same safety group. So it'll be interesting. Definitely a lot of Gators there, a lot of Gators to watch on the NFL Network as that, you know, they kind of show everything.
So you think Anthony Richardson works or throws?
No, doesn't
throw at the combine. Do you think he throws at pro day?
Yes. So he's going to jump out of that stadium. He's going to run. He's going to run a 4.4. He's not going to throw. You're going to throw in the indoor practice facility to four or five receivers who you're comfortable throwing with mm-hmm. on a very, very choreographed script where you've already gone through this song and dance of a throwing program 5-6 times before with these exact receivers. If you're Ant and you're looking at, okay, am I the second quarterback taken, fourth quarterback taken? You're trying to control the controllables. Hey, I can control how fast I run on turf. Easy. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be throwing to a bunch of receivers who I don't know who they are. We have no timing together, no chemistry. I'm just going to go ahead and throw on pro day with guys that I know. And you're going to look phenomenal there. He's going to look great in Indy doing mm-hmm. all the measurable testing, running things. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to throw on pro day, and he's going to look way better throwing on pro day to his guys than he would have to random receivers that you met 2 days before.
Yeah. I think his long ball is going to be beautiful. I think what everybody's want to see more the short routes, the check downs, the out routes, and how he performs those throws. But I expect to see a lot of beautiful deep balls, him flicking that at the flick of the wrist, that ball flies a far ways. And I think it's just people going to be more wild when he does throw the ball. So I was saying all to say this, he's not going to throw at the combine, but when he does throw the ball, I don't expect a lot of errant throws or anything like that. I expect, like you said, scripted, beautiful ball on deep stuff. But I'm interested to see if he gets a little jitterish on maybe the short balls and the swing passes and outs and some of the stuff we didn't see a lot of this fall. But and when we did see it, he struggled with it.
Yeah, no, I'm curious to see how he does. Obviously, I think that from a numbers perspective, it'll be incredible. From an interview perspective, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions on what would you do in this situation. You know, I think Anthony Richardson is going to get drafted very high. I did see a mock draft with him going to the Bucks at 19, reuniting with Kyle Trask maybe. You know, I don't know if that's a terrible place for him to go either. You know, the expectations will be pretty low in Tampa Bay probably next year. You know, most of the mock drafts I've seen him have him in the top 10. I know Carolina at number 9 seems like a likely spot for him. So I do think that he's going to show out.
Boy, them Cam lies. Carolina fans going to get our old Cam lies and run with it now. That's
I think I don't
if he goes to Carolina, that would be that comparison would definitely spring like out of every media person's mouth. The camp like him to being the next Cam Newton in the comparisons of their physical stature and abilities.
Yeah, I think for his sake, you know, and I said on the show before, you thought it was wild that I said Detroit.
No. Don't say my guy to that.
Detroit, but Detroit's crazy. In like a win now mode, so or Minnesota, somewhere that has a guy like Kirk Cousins has 3 more years on his deal. Jared Goff has 2 more on his. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Sam Darnold is stopping Anthony Richardson from starting day one, and I think he needs a year to just develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, obviously a lot to see. I don't think Anthony is going to hurt his stock at all. I think that there's really only one way for him to go up from here. Obviously, you know, a lot of coaches, you know, think that they're saviors in the NFL and can come in and really save anybody. And you have the measurables, you know, obviously the NFL quarterback position has very much moved to being a lot more mobile, the ability to move and make things happen outside of the pocket. So Anthony Richardson obviously did a lot of that. So will absolutely be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks with the underwear Olympics, as Nick calls them. But I don't see Anthony Richardson dropping all the way down to 19, but if not, might not be the worst place to be. So, all right, gentlemen, we are waiting on our guest. He should be here any minute. Right now, we found out on Thursday as well that Texas and Oklahoma have been able to leave their contract with Fox. They will be leaving the Big 12 at the end of the 2023 season and joining the SEC starting 2024. We still don't have all the answers. I know a lot of people are promulgating that it could be a 3 permanent team schedule, and then, you know, 5 to 6, depending on if they have 8 or 9 SEC games, rotating schedule. This was a conversation that happened on the timeline. It also happened on the message board for On3. So who would you guys want to be your 3 permanent?
Well, hold on. Before we do that, there's only 2 models that they're going to choose from. They announced that last year at the SEC spring meetings in Destin. There's 2 models, an 8-game model, which allows for 4 non-conference games, which is what you have now. That would be 1 permanent opponent, and then you rotate 7 others.
Give me Vanderbilt.
That the story rivalry, which is now becoming. Yeah. I don't think that happens. There's too many. Like, Auburn has to play Alabama, and Auburn has to play Georgia. Those, like, Auburn Those fans will riot. Those are the rules. Them's the breaks. Them's the rules. So there is a 9 game, which would mean adding an SEC game to the schedule. 9 games, 3 permanent opponents, and then the 6 rotation. I don't see a way that the 8-game model can protect all of these traditional rivalries and without heads rolling and fan bases, you know, lighting Birmingham on fire, you know, the SEC offices. So I think you're going to go to that 9 game, which would then would be the 3 permanent opponents. How do you, like, you're going to piss off Texas A&M, but I think Texas and Texas A&M need to be 3 permanent opponents. You need to bring that game back every year.
Yeah. Well, let's pause this conversation. Let's pick it up. We do have David Haas waiting for us from Haas Law. We're going to talk a little bit about NIL. I like where that conversation's going, Nick. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. You'll get 15% off of your order. They just released the FSU Circus T-shirt. So your nice. Favorite.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Your favorite FSU honors graduate, feel free to buy them the Circus College shirt. It's out there. You can use the same promo code across the site. 75-80 different schools now. So again,
we got some clowns on our fan base decommitting. They should probably flip over and grab that shirt.
Buy a Circus College shirt for all the Gator fans that are decommitting as well. So again, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. And with that, we welcome David Haas from Haas Law to talk a little bit about the changes in Florida's NIL law. So, David, joining us from Arizona, how are you, my friend?
It's been a long night, but I made it through the Super Bowl. And if I sound a little bit tired and groggy, I apologize for my first appearance on your show. It's an honor to be here. I was at the Chiefs celebration until... Well, let's just say a couple hours ago.
Your night went better than mine, man, for sure, man.
It was, it was awesome. Yeah,
no worries. I've podcasted from the airport in Las Vegas after a bachelor party, and Dan has become quite the bender man himself, and has come back from many a weekend with a less than clear voice. So you're fine,
David. I have had celebrations that rival yours for no reason in the world. Tuesday.
Just a Tuesday, baby.
It's just a Tuesday.
The nice thing I know about you guys is I feel amongst friends when I can say that out loud, and I know that there's no strangers to that event by any stretch. So appreciate you having me on, guys.
Well, David, we're excited to get your thoughts. I do want to set the groundwork here. Last week, the Florida Senate voted unanimously 34-0 on the Senate floor to pass HB 7B, which would repeal the current NIL law in the state of Florida. It would allow a lot of changes, and we're going to talk a little bit about those. But that also has passed the House, and it is on Ron DeSantis's desk to sign, which the expectation is that that will happen soon. And then the second that that pen stroke is finished, the old NIL law is done, and we are into what we are going to now talk to David about. David, what does this mean for NIL in the state of Florida?
And I guess, well, first, what was the old law? Like, what was the original law and the operating, how Florida and Florida schools were allowed to operate before this will be repealed and changed?
So, I mean, and you guys know, and I even went back through some of the old podcasts and listened as you guys have followed along, but just to sort of refresh everybody, I mean, Florida sort of set the bar at the development and creation of NIL for young athletes and for college players, right? And so Florida was one of the first, if not the first, I guess, state to go forward on NIL. Mm-hmm. It's been a long, 2 years, year and a half since then, and now the playing field is very different. A lot of things in a lot of states where there's states that have still not passed NIL laws, and then there are states that have much more aggressive or open NIL laws where, you know, even guys can go sign high school athletes to NIL deals to make money. What the Florida repeal does is it sort of allows, the main thing it's going to do is allow the universities to get involved with the NIL. I don't know what you call it, because there's sort of two NILs too, but there's the brand building, your name, those types of things, versus what has become sort of the bastardized version of NIL, which is pay for play. And so, you know, this doesn't really address the pay for play. That's still going to have issues, but it allows the coaching staffs for the most part to get more involved, which was one of the things that the original bill didn't do. And so it sort of kept the universities at arm's reach. Now, what that is going to be interesting. Legislation, which is going to say, well, you know, can't do pay for play, boosters can't do NIL, and if it is, it's, you're basically presumed guilty if any of these things happen. So, you know, that's it in a nutshell. It says it really levels the playing field, but we're still, it's still not an even playing field. You know, Florida's trying to stay at the forefront of this. You see it with the development of FAST, which is coming up strong, which is sort of, you know, a different iteration of, it's not quite the collective, but it's going to be a different thing for the athletes at UF specifically. You still got the collective, which I think is, you know, going through some necessary changes, trying to, you know, sort of re-envision its things. And so you're still, you know, going to have schools, agencies, NFL agents, they can contact kids in high school and bring them along in other states. I don't think Florida is going to be at that, but this law is certainly going to impact sort of the ability to level the playing field some without really addressing the main issues that are still the problems with NIL.
Do you think any of those issues, and we can talk a little bit more about them, but do you think any of those issues will ever get addressed? I mean, do you see ever a push by athletic directors or, you know, certainly probably not by the NCAA themselves, but do you ever see actual, maybe this comes from the federal level of really trying to clear up some of that gray area that I know a lot of schools really try to be in, but I mean, it's so broad and it's so gray that there's so many different versions. There's 50 shades of the color gray, right? So what do you see needing to happen to legislate true effective, you know, groundwork and parameters here?
So, I mean, you know, 50 states with 50 different types of, you know, rules is not a level playing field. It's the Wild West right now. I mean, you've got flat out schools, you know, collectives, individual boosters, so to speak, is probably more accurate, that are literally just offering money to come, you know, come play at the school. And I won't mention those schools' names, but we all know who they are. And so I think those are still going to be the problems. The pendulum's going to swing pretty far, right? When there's no rules and everybody's creating the rules, nobody can identify the issues. Do I think that pendulum is going to swim back and you will see some more federal legislation? I think it has to, because, you know, college football right now is sort of without, you know, if we go to the Power Five conferences, the NCAA is becoming weaker and weaker with regards to the governance of institutions. And so you're going to see at some point some commissioner, right? Or you're going to see some federal legislation is where I think it's eventually going to head. And the main Power Five conferences are going to say, well, you know, SEC, we've got schools in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, and they're all playing by different rules. And so somebody's going to have to come in and level that, whether it, but it's going to take some time. I mean, you know, we're still figuring out the problems with, you know, pay for play and those types of things, but we're getting there. And in the meantime, everybody's sort of scrambling to keep their head afloat and try not to break rules that change every day in every state. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, Florida's recruiting some kid from Ohio and Ohio's rules are different, who's in charge, right? So it's a challenging time. I certainly feel bad for the coaches. I know that, you know, they're trying to do things the right way. At least I'm a Gator and at the University of Florida, but it is certainly challenging when the coaches don't have a say in who should get paid, right, by these collectives. Mm-hmm. That's going to change now in Florida. So you know, the coaching staff is going to have a say, maybe not in amounts. I don't think that's a job that, if you ask probably most of the head coaches in Florida, that they want. But you've really got, I think Coach Napier said it best, you've got all the good things about the NFL with all the bad things that are not being fixed. I'm sorry. Uncapped free agency market.
Who's monitoring and policing like the different laws? Like, so it's different state-wise how Florida operates in say Ohio or California. Who's monitoring like the actions of the NIL practices in each state?
I don't even know if you get to each state. I mean, I'm somewhat active in the NIL market, but it's a challenge for a lot of different reasons. But each school right now is monitoring it separately. You know, each school has developed their own NIL policies. And so if I sign a young man to an NIL deal, I have to report the contract to UF in so much time. And, you know, the rules are published on each school's website. There's a lot of different schools in Florida, and each school has their own different rules. So right now, so if you ask me who's in charge, nobody really, except the institutions, with not a lot of guidance. I mean, you have to follow state law. You've got to, you know, try to figure out what this new NCAA is, if there's even any teeth to the enforcement of it. But there's not, you know, there's not a whole lot of a bumper pool without bumpers right now.
I mean, what led us to this was the NCAA trying to fight, you know, to keep the mythology of amateurism alive. They get all the way to Congress, and in Congress is like, hey, let's check out your antitrust status. And they're like, you know what? NIL sounds good to us. Let's get out of here. You just keep that antitrust. So then they kind of leave it up to the individual states, the individual conferences, but you're not going to have a conference. The SEC isn't going to say, hey, this is crazy. We're going to put in rules, because then you have Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10 say, hey, don't go to the SEC. Look, they're trying to hurt you with NIL. But I think what you did say, David, the Power Five, with them getting autonomy years back, you saw the NCAA have less and less power, because basically the Power Five were like, the only thing you're good for is running postseason tournaments, and we're going to run our own football tournament with the college football playoff. It'll be interesting to see as I think the Big Ten and the SEC start to distance themselves from the other Power Five schools. You're going to have just these two super conferences that have even more power now over the NCAA. So does the NCAA, the way that if things start moving that direction, do they ever have the authority to kind of wrap their arms around this?
Well, I think where you're going to see some pushback, and I'll put my lawyer hat on here for a second, is, and it's not the prettiest hat. I don't like to tell people I'm a lawyer, but here, we'll give it a go. The pushback you're going to see now, especially in Florida, is, okay, head coaches have a say. Well, now, if you have a say, now you've got to start getting into workers' rights. And are the players employees? Well, right. With employees comes health insurance, mm-hmm. workers' comp,
right?
You know, days off.
PTO. Hey, coach, that two-a-day doesn't sound good. Here's my PTO.
And look, I'm all for players having power and control over their name, image, and likeness. It is a bastardized system right now, but I think that's where the pendulum is going to start to wobble towards a centerpiece of where it's going to be legislated in somehow, some way. But again, if you're looking at the NCAA model versus an NFL model, the NFL has, you know, a salary structure system, a salary cap. And, you know, right now there is not that in the NCAA, but the NFL also has, you know, I'm an agent. And so you have, you know, a collective bargaining agreement. You have what mm-hmm. players are entitled to for 401k plans. You know, that's not in the NCAA either. Right now you've got a bunch of young college athletes that may have gotten terrible, I'll use a non-curse word, terrible advice. They're getting 1099s in the mail, and, you know, they're paying taxes on money that may be gone if they didn't have, you know, somebody solid standing with them or behind them, steering them, saying, hey, man, you got $100,000. You need to hold on to some of this, because when February, March rolls around, you owe Uncle Sam. So,
yeah, like 33% of it, yeah. not some of it. Hold on to a nice chunk of that. I just don't know. I just don't know. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just can't envision getting to that point, because that's what you're fighting against, is you don't want them to be employees, or at least that's what the NCAA has been fighting against mm-hmm. since probably the inception of the NCAA.
Well, if the NCAA is fighting against it, the schools are fighting against it, because they're fighting.
The schools don't want that. Yes, right. As well. But you can't get a CBA unless you've already gotten over that first hurdle, which is, okay, yes, they are employees.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think the real, and I know there's a lot to figure out, new law wise, and it's going to be forever moving process in motion, right? We're going to see things change from year to year, and they're going to fine tune things. But I think the real change is or the real money is in not the schools negotiating them NIL deals or getting involved in NIL, but on the players somehow unionizing and getting those rights you were just talking about. Like, of course, there's collective bargaining agreements and all that, but there's also a players union and that fights for those rights and a lot of different things. How soon do you think there is some type of player union where these guys start getting into the profits of the TV money and all that type of the billions of dollars, the real money?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, again, another great spot. I mean, if you would have told me 2 years ago that we'd be, you know, paying college quarterbacks seven figures, I would have said, you're absolutely nuts. Could it be a year from now that we're saying, oh, the college players have unionized and they're getting a percentage of, you know, the college football playoff funds? Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, it's not happening this season. It's not going to happen until there's some sort of national oversight over how these things are going on. Because, you know, and eventually what's going to get this thing kicked in it is going to be, you're going to have a congressman from Alabama that is tired of losing to a congressman's district from Georgia because,
right,
you know, they and that's where you're going to see this thing start.
So you're saying I need to become a politician?
I know. I mean, and then college football is relying on politicians to set the rules for, you know, whatever's going to happen and how much of that. I mean, they don't do it with the NFL. And so how much of that could be either legislated or how much is it going to be? I think the more likely scenario is you're going to see some sort of college football commissioner that's going to, you know, sort of lay a sheet over what can be done. And I think we're a ways away from that just because now you've got the television deals for all these, you know, massive contracts that go out for another 8 years. Mm-hmm. So who's going to win that tug of war right now? And in the meantime, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people making a lot of mistakes and a bunch of people making a lot of money in this.
David, I know we're prognosticating a lot here, and I don't know if you've put any thought. I mean, obviously, we're talking about a college football commissioner. You know, for the most part, when we talk about NIL and we talk about big dollars, we're talking, you know, basketball and we're talking football. And then there's some occasional people that are, you know, able to make money on NIL from, you know, TikTok accounts, Instagram, et cetera. But I'm starting to wonder when we start to talk about these big dollars coming in, how does Title IX come into play? How do some of these non-revenue sports come into play when you consider compensation for
good question,
being an athlete at the University of Florida or any school?
That's where you're, I mean, does it come into play? Absolutely. I mean, it has to in some ways, especially, you know, now that Florida is going to have some say. And when I say Florida universities are going to have some say in how money is allocated, now you're triggering Title IX just as much as you may be triggering workers' comp.
Right.
And so it is, you know, lawyers, and again, hey, sorry, but it's going to be a nightmare for a while. And, you know, look, I think the purists, you know, I love watching the segments of, you know, the new Netflix or new movie Air is coming out, right? Mm-hmm. With Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. To me, and maybe I'm just sort of the purist, I'm not a pay for play. I don't like it. I think it's terrible for the game. I think it's terrible for smaller schools. It's not a level playing field. And quite frankly, the ROI for a big booster to continue to do it year after year is not sustainable in my mind either, because you're not going to have guys drop $2 million for a five-star quarterback, and then next thing you know, they're gone in a year, 2 years. Mm-hmm. The ROI for that is probably not sustainable. So what I think is more likely is you're going to see sort of this pendulum swing to the purest side of the NIL, which is build your brand. Mm-hmm. You know, Nike offers Michael Jordan, you know, $2 million. Jordan, that's a dumb deal for Michael to take. You want your own shoe, you want to build a brand, and now you're a billionaire. But convincing athletes, especially they're, you know, fresh out of high school, in college, to delay money, to delay some of that so that you can build a brand is a difficult part of what is there, because everybody wants, you know, a car or, you know, those headphones or whatever it is. But if you can push off some of that and structure an NIL branding with, you know, and I talked to these brands literally probably later today about doing it, that's where you really can change the market. That's where you can change things. And I think that's going to take some time as well to see how, you know, a kicker can change a brand and create something for, you know, whatever market is going to get behind him. And he puts off a paycheck, but he's got some sort of structure and infrastructure behind him that can make him bigger than a $20,000 paycheck.
Yeah, it I mean, we've seen, like you said, the bastardization of it. We can just call it NIL, but it's your name, image, and likeness. And essentially, NIL deals are sponsorships. And this company sees, hey, Livy Dune Dunn, I don't know how to say it, has 8 million followers on TikTok. If we get her, if I'm Nestle, and hey, I want you to do 3 TikToks with my brand, like that's what name, image, and likeness is, not, hey, you're a 5-star quarterback. We would like your name on the back of my favorite team's jersey. Right. And I would likeness that.
He's working on that one.
I like it.
That's kind of really like what it's become.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, and when I compare it to the NFL, you've got a no salary cap system with the ultimate free agency with the transfer portal. And so the market is, you know, watching the Chiefs last night, you know, Mahomes has a $503 million deal that's structured out over 10 years to allow payment for other players. You know, Jalen Hurts has a $4 million deal over 4 years. You look at those numbers and then you look at what's going on in the NCAA. Okay. You know, Mahomes is locked in. You see Derek Carr, he had a no trade clause. And so the Raiders are on the hook for him. You don't have that in the NCAA. There is literally a wide open, you don't even have to trade me. I'm just leaving with the portal. And so, you know, how much of that matures and develops into something unhealthy versus healthier is going to, I think, drive the coaches getting more involved with, you know, reaching out and saying this system isn't sustainable. What can we do to set in place, you know, something to give some oversight and practicality and really just rational thinking over this system right now.
David, and this is probably my final question. I know that, you know, Chip LaMarca said that he didn't think that this was like the biggest deal, you know, but he just kind of wanted, in his opinion, to level the playing field. You know, he talked a lot about part of what was in repealing was adding an entrepreneurship and adding some more branding classes and education. But did you think that this repeal was necessary, or do you think that it was just something that they did to try to make it seem like they're moving forward? It doesn't seem like Billy Napier thought it was a big deal, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and thanks for reminding me of the entrepreneurship classes. I mean, I think that helps, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I compare it to the NFL because they do some of that in the NFL. The league puts on those things, you know, once you're drafted and afterwards. Does that help? Yeah, that helps a kid understand and know that in February a 1099 is coming. Does that change how Billy Napier is going to do anything? I mean, look, I think Florida's lucky in that he is going to develop the mindset of a player of how to handle money when it comes in. I think coaches will do that. Mm-hmm. I'm a new NFL agent. I've been terribly surprised and disappointed, I would say, with how players that graduate that are not top picks just sort of get, all right, go figure it out and try to figure out how to make your dream. So how much of that is going to happen with NIL? I think that's possible too, because coaches just want to coach. You know, they're going to try to coach and develop their mindset of the players and the players athletically as well. But there's not a lot, again, you know, we're prognosticating futures, but I don't think those classes or even the leveling of this playing field by the involvement of the schools really is going to change anything. I think it is a logical progression to what will come next, which is what we've been talking about.
And I know the new NCAA president is the former governor of Massachusetts, so potentially we start to see some push, but we don't know until March 1st. Well, Silk, Nick, any final questions? David, we certainly appreciate your time this morning for you.
Nah, super informative, man. Appreciate you for hanging out with us, David.
No problem, guys.
Enjoy the hangover, my guy.
I'll come back anytime y'all want.
I have one last question, David. How would you rate Tommy Townsend's outfit last night walking into the stadium?
I'll give you two Tommy Townsends. One was just one I bumped into, but his outfit was epic for a punt, you know, for a punter to pull that off, and he did. Was fantastic. And so, you know, I was trying to get down on the field last night and after the game, and you know, it was heartbreaking because the Townsend's family was there, and you know, they give limited placards to be able to get down on the field. It's, you know, about as secure as you can imagine. And being the Gator I was, his mom was there, and she was encouraging, you know, Johnny was already back there, but his other brother, she was giving her lanyard up to the other brother to go down on the field. And I was trying like hell to be able to get her another one to get back, but it didn't work. But so I felt terrible for them because, you know, I'm just a guy trying to, you know, get on the field. Sure. But, you know, for a family member like that to not be able to share that moment, my heart broke for them. So if you're watching this, Tommy, I did try. I failed. I apologize.
Well, at least Clay Jr. and Johnny were able to get down there and share that with Tommy.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, David, thank you again so much for your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your trip out in Arizona. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome. That is David Haas from Haas Law, a great account on Twitter as well. Very informative, gentlemen. Any thoughts based on what he said before we go back into our SEC discussion?
I just like everything to fix it. They won't do the first step to fix this. So when Billy Napier, and he's not wrong, I'm not like saying he's wrong or he's against the players making money, but to get a collective bargaining, to start giving the players a piece of this gigantic $40 billion tiered cake that the new TV contract is going to create, you'd have to admit that they are employees. And then with that comes workers' rights, workers' comp, healthcare, life insurance, all kinds of things that the schools don't want to start to do. So I don't know how you fix it when the first step is in the minds of the universities and in the NCAA, this giant impassable hurdle. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where you go from this. It's clear you need to make them employees to give them that cut, their fair share of the pie. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you run into some of the other things. And, you know, I don't know how much the discussion has been had about what happens to non-revenue generating sports, what happens to Title IX. You know, what happens to schools that can't afford it, right? You know, we're talking Florida, Alabama, Georgia, you know, huge multi-billion dollar TV contracts just for college football alone. But you start to get in other, you know, situations where the cost of employment is far greater than just the salary that you're paying an individual as well. So you start to think of, you know, some of your smaller schools. And I'm even thinking of a school like East Carolina, right? Or, you know, Western Kentucky. What do you do in a situation, you know, like that, right? What do you do with the money that you have allocated for players and you can't afford it anymore? Do you start to see cuts to other sports? Do you start to see athletic departments folding? You know, certainly will be interesting to see. And I know the NCAA as a whole is made up of a lot more schools that aren't revenue generating positive incomes in football and don't have these huge deals. So I will be interested to see what ultimately does happen, you know, with NIL and with everything related to player compensation moving forward. Certainly be murky. It'll certainly be muddy. And I certainly see a lot of kick in the can before any true action is taken.
I mean, elite can kicking levels will be had before anything meaningful happens. I mean, this can's going from Miami to Juneau, Alaska before anything happens.
I don't know of any two entities in the world that like to kick the can more than politicians and the NCAA. So
you're getting both of them together.
Yeah, we find ourselves between a pebble and a cue ball here trying to figure out.
And a cue ball.
Yeah, I was going to say a rock and a hard place, but neither one of them are going to do anything. So it's not going to make it uncomfortable for anybody, but we will definitely see. But before we move back into the SEC conversation, Nick was able to get a Ross Dellinger article that we'll talk about here in a second. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall in beautiful Gainesville, Florida, or online at alumnihall.com. Check them out right there on Archer Road. If you are looking for sweaters, if you are looking for basketball apparel, if you're looking for new baseball and softball gear that is out, or if you are looking to get yourself ready for football season, which is just in a few 6 months or so from now, go check out alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you. Nick, you sent an article here by Ross Dellinger that he wrote just the other day, and I'm just going to pull up the name of the article. Is the SEC is getting a new schedule model, but which one will win out? So in this article, he debates the 8-9 approach, and then he prognosticates a little bit on where he thinks the permanent rotations could be. And for Florida, he said Georgia, South Carolina, and Oklahoma. And he did that by choosing two from the East and one permanent from whatever the mythical West might be called as well. But Nick Silk, what would your thoughts on Georgia, South Carolina, and Oklahoma be? And let's follow that model and say, if you had to pick two from one, that's realistic, not just Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Mississippi State, what would you guys want as your three schools?
Yeah, I think I think to do this model, you have to be real. And I think what Ross did is you have to tier the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like who's great right now, who's traditionally great, who has the resources to put into it, who has the recruiting that will make it great. And you have to tier. And like, hey, if you're a top tier, then we need two of the top tier in your group, and you get one from, you know, then you get a Vandy. And then Vandy would get, you know, one or two from like the lower half and then one from the upper half to try to make things equal. It's tough. Like none of us, I don't think, are old enough to remember when Auburn and Florida were yearly rivals and playing every year. And that was a great rivalry. You know, Auburn and Florida have only played a handful of times in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's wild to think when you look at that with Florida getting Georgia, South Carolina, Oklahoma. Like, damn, you're not going to get Florida, Tennessee anymore. That used to be, if not the first SEC game, then the second SEC game for both teams. And in the 90s, when we were growing up, Dan, it was like you knew who was in the driver's seat by the, you know, the second week in September.
Yeah.
Third week in September. I don't know if can you switch out Tennessee for Georgia, and now you're not going to get Florida, Georgia, and Jacksonville anymore. I think the city, Dan's favorite city, in the entire world.
They need the tourism dollars, Nick. I would hate to see what could happen to them without the one big event a year.
Maxwell House is doing fine. There's just so many rivalries and so much story tradition that it will be you know, headache inducing to try to figure out who's playing who.
Yeah, they kept Alabama with Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU.
Because you have to have the third weekend in October, and you have to have the Iron Bowl.
Yep, they gave Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Alabama, and South Carolina. That seems to be on certainly the more interesting side. I'm trying to look to see if there's any other matchups. You know, they teamed up Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Arkansas, certainly. Some big regional battles. You go back to some old conferences from back in college football's heyday with some of those games as well. You know, but certainly I don't know what the right way to do it or not is. I don't know if these are permanent forever or if this is a 5-year rotation, you know, maybe a, you know, 6-year rotation. You get two home games, two away games, three home games, three away games. You know, obviously Florida and Georgia would be played in Jacksonville for the foreseeable future. But would you guys be in favor of doing something like that? Hey, we give you, you know, 6 years, and then we switch up permanent rivals, try to bring back some of these old rivalries that maybe existed, you know, bring back a Florida and Tennessee on a yearly tradition. Something like that could certainly be, you know, an option as well.
I'm open-minded to a lot of it, but it's hard to turn down because college football is so based on tradition. It's hard to just like in my mind, I don't care how good Georgia is, they got to line that shit up every year, right? I don't want Georgia in my pod because they're real good right now. I grew up watching that game. I want to see it, and I want to just know, I want us to be better, but I don't want that game to go away. I don't know how you rotate these schedules and how these pods work. I'm open-minded to it all. I want to get caught up in tradition, but I couldn't say right now how we want a pod to work out. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know. It's too tough for me.
I think, you know, hey, what about a pod of Mississippi State, Florida, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt? There you go. There's your four.
That's what I was doing around earlier.
I mean, you're going
to
be.
You want to go to those games as a fan, though. Like, I know you, like, you're probably going to win, right? But
these are only that would only be three of your nine SEC games. So, you know, even though Florida gets Georgia, South Carolina, Oklahoma every single year, you might have an Alabama on that schedule as well.
Right.
You might have a trip to, you know, to Ole Miss, and then you have to host Texas. And then. It is wild. I mean, like, how far is Norman, Oklahoma from Gainesville? That's got to be over 1,000 miles.
Yeah, it's not close.
And then that's like a yearly, you know, a biannual trip you have to make. You know, like, hey, why are we lumped in with Oklahoma other than, you know, playing one time in a national championship? Like, there, other than that, what's the history there?
Yeah, no, certainly a lot of scheduling quirks to be worked out, but certainly it's going to be interesting to see. You know, it is going to be interesting to see some new games, some hopeful kind of refresh of the schedule. I know that there's been a, you know, a number of schools. You know, Florida hasn't played Auburn very much. They haven't played Mississippi State a ton. You know, they haven't played a number of these schools all that often. I know that Alabama and Georgia outside of the SEC championship haven't played each other, you know, a ton since Texas A&M and Missouri, you know, got brought into the fold. And, you know, you have a lot of tradition. You have a lot of old tradition, Ravi, you know, that Texas Arkansas game, if you go back 60, 70 years was the bee's knees, right? Of college rivalries right up there with Princeton and Harvard. So we'll certainly be interesting to see how all of that shakes out over the next few months. But now that we do know 2024 is the first year you will see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. Although I did think it was interesting, they are forfeiting $100 million of revenue. And then I know that they are also from the Fox deal. And then I know that they're also not doing a first year profit share of the TV deal. So some interesting facts coming out there. In other news, the Gators do start against Utah in Salt Lake City next year. Cam Rising, quarterback, does have an ACL tear. You know, obviously a long time between, you know, now and then, but certainly something to keep an eye out for. Wanting to pass that news along. The Gators, unfortunately, are on a three-game basketball losing streak after a big win against Tennessee. They lost to Vanderbilt on Saturday, which was a tough 88-80 loss. They, you know, bounced back and forth. The Gators were winning for a bit, but just not a game where Florida could seem to get their three-point shot working, outscored by 30 points in that game from behind the three-point line. But do want to give kudos to Colin Castleton, who has now passed Al Horford for the third most blocks in UF history. In some other Gator sports news, softball started this weekend, going 3-0, winning 11-2 against Boston University, 9-0 against Boston College, and 21-0 against Illinois State. Gators men's tennis wins the ViStar Credit Union Gators Invitational. So congratulations in golf. Sorry.
Tennis.
Oh, man, I meant golf. My apologies. Starting off the season strong, won a tournament last week and then, or 2 weeks ago, and then won this ViStar Credit Union Gator Invitational. So congratulations to them. Women's lacrosse beats Michigan 17-8. So a great showing from them. Gymnastics gets the second highest score of the year to improve to 8-0. So right now, if you run the sports list records, men's basketball is 13-12, women's basketball is 14-11, gymnastics is 8-0, lacrosse 1-0, softball 3-0, men's swimming and diving 5-1, women's swimming and diving 6-1, men's tennis 4-3, and women's tennis 4-1. And then baseball starts this week, Nick. What can we expect?
Yeah, well, here a little bit of news. I put it on Gators Online. You're going to see some uniform changes. The beautiful Florida scripts that you used to see on Sunday, you'll see those on Friday night. Blue tops on Saturdays as normal. And then
Orange tops on Sunday. The pinstripes are being phased out. Those will be midweeks, and then they'll be gone, I believe, after this year. So you'll see Brandon Sproat. I'll probably get old takes exposed because I have a tweet out there thinking Brandon was going to leave to the draft after last year. Said he was out there on the mound collecting some dirt from the last game. Said here's his last time ever, and I'm an idiot because you'll see him Friday night opening the season. And Florida should start 3-0 this week. Should start 3-0 this weekend. Not playing a great opponent, and the Gators are deep. It should be a fun season. We're on a strict not hyping the team up because Silk calls me out on my lies when they lose to, you know, JU on Wednesdays, which, you know, it's baseball. It's a long season. It'll happen. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to baseball starting. It's a really fun team. And if you're in Gainesville, it's an easy ticket to get, and it's a great stadium to watch a game at.
I'm looking forward to getting Sully on the show, man. You know what I'm saying, Nick?
I'm just going to slide you his number.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Nice pullover, too, man. And the people in the comments are saying that you were wearing that just to flex a little bit.
It's a not even a slight flex.
No, he wouldn't change clothes. Like, we
got hard. We got laid. Yep.
Yeah, we sat down to start the show. He was like, hold on, guys. He cut off his screen, and he came back with a new shirt. He's like, I got to wear it. Like, oh, my goodness. Nice flex, man. Nice shirt.
Shout out to JC Deacon.
Shout out to friend of the show. Friend of the show, JC Deacon. Let's see. Got a couple final announcements, and then we are going to be moving on to what we think is a very exciting midweek interview. We are just dotting the final I and crossing the final T, but we will be posting an interview that you guys will want to hear and you guys will want to listen to. We are recording on Wednesday at 7:30 a.m. It will not be a live show, but we will be putting that on YouTube. If you keep tabs on the Stadium and Gale Twitter account, we will be putting out that graphic today, which is Monday. If you're listening to this, it should already be on there about an interview that we have been working on for over a year to get in the works. So we are very, very excited about that. And then finally, we do want to tease that we will be starting to get a lot more involved in NIL. As a podcast, we are finalizing some conversations. We are finalizing some contracts. And ultimately, our goal is to bring more content and more connection back to the players at the University of Florida by providing NIL opportunities to them in partnership with a few different entities. And we're excited to announce that here in the next couple of weeks. With that being said, Nick, Silk, before I see you on Wednesday morning, bright and early, make sure the golf shirt's already laid out, nicely ironed. That way we can get started right at 7:30, Nick. But any final thoughts before we end the show today?
I mean, I'm wearing a tuxedo for Wednesday. I might go over with a cummerbund, you know, that type of like
standing up really far away.
Yeah. Looking fly like the baby blue on Dumb and Dumber type. That's type of vibes I'm on Wednesday. Big show, excited about that. Also, man, shout out to the people that introduced me. I like you. I played some golf this past week and I stunk, Nick. I don't think I'm ever going back out there again, to be real with you. But the people in Gator Twitter introduced me to some type of frisbee game that's similar to golf.
Frisbee golf.
So I'm gonna partake in that in the next couple of weeks, man. And I'm gonna let you guys, I'm gonna give you guys the feedback on, you know, what it's like. Have you guys played frisbee golf?
Yes.
I've played frisbee golf once.
How was it?
It was fun. It's different. I'm not great. I'm okay at throwing a frisbee. I think I'm very average, right? But when you get into frisbee golf, first off, you what else is new? So a couple things that I learned, that there's a lot of different frisbees depending on what you're doing. You have your drivers and your irons and everything else. So that took a little bit of getting used to. It's not like just throwing like a plastic frisbee. I mean, these are, you know,
I'm gonna grab one from Walmart.
I don't know how much they gym go class. For.
Yeah. That's what I was imagining a little bit.
I don't know how much a frisbee for frisbee golf goes for, but I think to get a full bag of frisbees, you're probably going into the high three figures to get yourself outfitted and situated.
Oh no, just waste money on golf club. There's no way. Do they rent them out like bowling shoes, man?
I think so. Disc golf, Cam, super producer Cam, disc golf, frisbee golf. I think disc
golf
is probably.
You can get a disc golf starter set for $20 on Amazon. Silk, let's get you in it.
Yeah, yeah, but let's start to get to some of the higher level.
Westside, you know, disc refugee backpack, just a backpack, $80.
Yeah, so what are we looking at? What's the Callaway or Titleist of disc golf?
I'm out of my depth here.
You know, we've got the Wilson staffs. We got the stuff you can pick up at Play It Again Sports. But, you know, I need to know what people are throwing down. No, I had a good time. It wasn't very good, as you can imagine. But I had a good time out there.
I'm curious. I'm going to try it out, man. As soon as I got a free Saturday of no track and no 707, I'm going to be out there. And I'm going to get some video footage. I want y'all to see how raw I am out the gate.
I'll believe it when I see it. All right, gentlemen. Everybody stay tuned. We're super, super excited. We are waiting on one final text message, or we would have announced it on the show today. Want to make sure that we are not stepping out of line, but please do stay tuned to our YouTube and our podcast channel. Very excited about this interview that we have on Wednesday. With that being said, I think I have the song of the week, if I'm not mistaken. And so we are going to go, I've been scrolling here for a while. We're going to go back to an old reliable. We're going to go to the Turnpike Troubadours and we're going to play, let's see, Before the Devil Even Knows You're Here is a good one. So shout out to my buddy, Paul, him and I are going to go hit up, Red Rocks together in May, early May. I'll be in Red Rocks twice in 2 weeks. So gotta flex on the concert venues a little bit. Here come the disc golfers. They're not frisbees, they're discs.
No disrespect.
No disrespect to the disc golf players that are out there. It's a very hard, challenging sport. So thank you. But let Nick know where he can get some Titleist or Callaway discs, and then let Silk know where the Wilson staffs are.
Yeah, I'm going to need a caddy on my disc golf.
All right, boys. We'll see you at the same corner and same time next week. Well, on Wednesday. How about Wednesday?
Wednesday. We pull them back. Let's up on Wednesday. Wednesday.
Yeah. All right, boys. We'll see you guys. Thanks for everybody watching. If you are not watching this on YouTube, please go like and subscribe there. Would love some more viewership there. But also thanks for everybody listening. Throw a thumbs up on that like button, and we appreciate your time. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Like his grandchildren would do. There was square hay on the meadow, second cutting of the year. Well, his summer work was over once they got the pasture clear. They were drinking on the big bluff across the river from the field. Well, he walked up to the edge and threw a stone in and he kneeled. And he looked down at the water, said, "Boys, I'm going in." But they were cheering when he jumped, but he did not come up again. We'll raise another round, boys, and have another glass. Be thankful for a day, know that it'll never last. And let's leave the world laughing when our eulogies are read. May we all get to heaven, for the devil knows we're dead. May we all get to heaven, for the devil knows we're dead. Just a two-lane piece of blacktop, a snaky stretch of road. Well, the wind blew through the wing vents, it was clear and fresh and cold. Well, the driver killed the headlights, and he put the throttle down. When they hit the railroad crossing, they were 5 feet off the ground. Just a screaming through the midnight, till they came down again. Well, the front tire hit a bar ditch, they went in and over in. We'll raise another round, boys, and have another glass. Be thankful for today, know that it'll never last. And let's leave the world laughing when our eulogies are read. May we all get to heaven, for the devil knows we're dead. May we all
Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.